I hope I can preach half as good as you sang. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll be focusing just on the first three verses this morning. Hear now the inspired word of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Let's pray. Father, once again, as we look into your word, we would simply ask that you'd be pleased to open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts, that we might see what you have to say to us, hear it, and understand it. Impress it upon our hearts, Father, that in understanding it, we might not merely be those who hear the word only and delude ourselves, but, Father, we would be effectual doers of your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, if you remember some of your most recent history here in the United States, you know that the 1960s and the 1970s were quite a watershed period in American history. They're remembered primarily for two overriding things that happened during that time. For, of course, one is the war in Vietnam, and the second, the sexual revolution. Those two themes joined together in the peace rallies, and one of the biggest slogans of those two decades was "Make love, not war." But there was a lot more going on during those two decades, more than peace protests and the sexual revolution. In fact, those two things were manifestations, if you will, of a deeper social upheaval. Breakpoint, which was the prison fellowship magazine published by Chuck Colson, he had this commentary about the author of a book by the name of Alex Comfort back in 2001. So this was not too far after the 60s and 70s. This is an excerpt from that article. It says, last week, Alex Comfort, best known as the author of The Joy of Sex, died in a London nursing home. Obituaries in the liberal press hailed him as a great progressive figure. In 1972, The Joy of Sex, a book he wrote in a matter of weeks, created an international sensation subtitled A Gourmet Guide to Lovemaking. It sold 12 million copies and was a key weapon in the sexual revolution, a revolution grounded in a philosophy of radical personal autonomy. Now, I want you to get that last point. A revolution grounded in a philosophy of radical personal autonomy. In all the political, social, and religious upheaval of those decades, we find this common denominator: radical personal autonomy. In other words, the throwing off of all external restraints. This manifested itself in other ways as well. Students desired greater input into what was being taught in the schools. And so they had student councils giving input as to what should be taught. They also had great input into the ethics, the code of ethics of the schools and colleges. The feminist movement was a big part of this as the quest for female personal radical autonomy. The pro-abortion position is that of radical personal autonomy to the point of killing an unborn child because of the autonomy I have over my body, as the theory would go. Timothy Leary became the guru for a whole new market for drug use on college campuses. Turn in, turn on, drop out. as he encouraged radical drug experimentation. Now, religion was not exempt either. The Jesus movement manifested this same attitude. In fact, in the 60s and the 70s, within the church I'm talking about now, church gathering like this became unnecessary and in many places undesirable. And the only important thing was how you personally responded to God. And that could be different for each individual purpose. And basically the attitude was that no one had the right to tell you how to worship God, what to do with God. That was just between you and God. And that was manifested in the family. Dr. Spock. That's Dr. Spock, not Mr. Spock. Dr. Spock had paved the way for all of this in the 50s with his child-centered parenting styles. And he had become the guru for raising children in the 60s and the 70s. And in fact, his attitude was, don't ever say no to your child, because that might damage their ego. And so we found children being encouraged to even call their parents by their first name. It was very common in that era to just refer to parents by their first name. Why? Because we're all equal. And the concept of mother and father was even being blurred. And so the concept of the nuclear family, the traditional family, with all of its values, was being undermined. Nothing could be further from the biblical truth than this quest for radical personal autonomy. It runs diametrically opposed to the teaching of Holy Scripture. God has clearly established authorities of various kinds. The Bible is replete with admonitions to obey the authorities God has set over us. And under the direction of God Himself, the most basic of all authorities is the family unit, headed by mom and dad. And so submission to authority must begin at home. If it isn't found here, it won't be found anywhere else either. And that is the subject of our text for this morning. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, we've read it already. Paul has addressed the subject of marriage in chapter 5, and we spent several weeks examining the role of the husband, the role of the wife, and how that responds to the role of Christ in His church. And now, after Paul has addressed this, he turns to a very basic principle of honoring your father and mother. Basically, what he does here is he restates the fifth commandment and expounds on it a little bit. The fifth commandment, Exodus 20, verse 12, honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Here's a question. Before we get into our exposition of the commandment, I have this question. First, remember that the Ten Commandments are divided into two tables. The first table is our duties to God, and the second is our duties to mankind. So here's the question. Does this commandment, the fifth, belong to the first or second tables of the law? Most commentators divide the commandments into the first four and then the second six. The fifth being a part of the second table. Some divide them equally, five and five. Those who divide them five and five recognize that this commandment, the fifth commandment, to honor your father and mother, has a deeper implication than just honoring your personal, your familial mother and father. That inherent in the command is the honoring of God as father. But those who divide them four and six also would agree with that implication. Now, I'm not so concerned with how you divide them as long as we recognize the deeper implications of this commandment. In fact, Thomas Watson, in his excellent commentary on the Ten Commandments, says this: the commandments may be likened to Jacob's ladder. The first table respects God and is the top of the ladder that reaches to heaven. The second respects superiors and inferiors, and is the foot of the ladder that rests on the earth. By the first table, we walk religiously towards God. By the second, we walk religiously towards man. He cannot be good in the first table that is bad in the second table. So whichever way you divide them, one thing is certainly clear. The fifth commandment bridges the two tables. Because of who God is, he is, as he is described in the first four commandments, and because man is the image bearer of God, the authorities he sets over us must be given proper honor. This is the first and foremost of the commandments towards mankind. Now, I've mentioned this several times in the past, in past messages, and so I'm going to repeat it again. There is a logic and a cogency, a priority to the order of the commandments. Based upon that, I would assert that the greatest crime, now listen carefully. Notice what I just said. There's a logic and a cogency to the commandments. Based upon that, I would assert this, and listen carefully. The greatest crime against humanity is not murder. It's dishonoring your parents. Amen. Think about that for a minute. The greatest crime against humanity is not murder. Because that's the sixth commandment, which follows the fifth, to honor your father and your mother. This commandment is foundational for the five that follow it. And it is the natural follow-up to the four that precede it. So for all you children who are listening, and that should be all you children, pay close attention to this message. Because dishonoring your parents is worse than if you went out and killed somebody. This is an important message. But for all of you adults, the commandment applies to you even after you've left home and gotten married. Although the relationship changes as a child gets older, and even how the commandment is applied may change, but the basic commandment to honor your father and mother does not change. So let's look at the commandment and ask some questions. What does it mean to honor your father and mother? And I'm going to give you several examples or illustrations of what does it mean to honor your father and mother. First, by giving them reverential esteem. That's what honor really means. Now, the apostle takes this for granted in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 12:9, he says this, "Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live?" And in essence, what he's saying there is, we need to give our Father God the same type of reverence that we naturally would give to our human fathers. He just takes it for granted. In the same way, we should show God a reverential fear and esteem. Leviticus 19:3, "Every one of you shall reverence his mother and father, and you shall keep my Sabbath, I am the Lord your God." This reverence and respect must be shown in word and in deed, as well as in attitude. And if you follow the teaching of Scripture, you will find no other teaching than respectful behavior to parents. Now, the second way is what is found in our text for this morning, in Ephesians 6:1. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." We also see that same principle in Colossians 3:20. "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." Jesus Christ was God Almighty, still is God Almighty. However, he subjected himself to earthly parents. Luke 2:51. "And he went down with them and he came to Nazareth and he continued in subjection to them." Do you hear that? Jesus Christ, the God-man, perfect in every way, fully God, and yet while he took on his role as the God-man, he subjected himself to his parents. Disobedience to parents in Scripture is looked upon as a major sin. Now, of course, we know it in the Old Testament, but in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul writing to that young pastor Timothy, listen to what he says. But realize this, this is chapter 3, verse 1. But realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents. Notice where it's listed. Then right after that, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, and avoid such men as these. Now notice, right smack in the middle of that whole list is being disobedient to parents. This is not a trivial issue. Third way in which you can honor your mother and father is by taking care of them in their need. Now, this is most applicable to older children and adult children, but it's equally important. When you leave home and establish a new household, your parents are no longer in the same position of authority over you. We teach that in our premarital counseling, and I even recite that usually during the wedding ceremony. However, the commandment to honor them is still in effect, just in a different way. Joseph, one of the most shining examples of a godly man in all of Scripture, took care of his father in his old age. Genesis 47:12, and Joseph provided for his father and his brothers and all his father's household with food according to their little ones. Jesus, when he was on the cross, made certain that his mother would be cared for. You need to listen to this portion of Scripture. What is the priority? You know, here, just think of this. Jesus Christ, the God-man, he came to earth, and now in his greatest hour, the hour that he came to earth for, to die on the cross, to bear the sin of mankind, to accomplish redemption, this was the crucial point in all of world history. And while he's dying on the cross, what does he do? John chapter 19, verse 25. Therefore the soldiers did these things, but they were standing by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, that's John, standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own household. In the midst of his greatest hour, dying on the cross, he made sure that his earthly mother was taken care of. So even Christ put a priority. So how can we show this type of honor? Well, we have the principle, and it's clear from Scripture to honor our mothers and fathers. What does this look like in practical terms? Well, let's look at this. Firstly, it means listening to what they have to say. Proverbs chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said, "Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live." Proverbs 23:22. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. And again, this is applicable to children of all ages. Of course, there could be a little special footnote in there for teenagers. It's during the teen years that kids start to listen more to their peers, and they think the parents don't really know much. If it's said on television or in a book, then it must be right. But God has placed your parents over you for your instruction. And the first way to honor them is to listen to them. Proverbs says, "Listen and become wise." Proverbs 10:1, the Proverbs of Solomon, "A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. And that brings us back again to obeying them. Because listening doesn't garner you much unless you're listening and then obeying. Proverbs 6, verse 20. My son, observe the commandment of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. You know, listening and doing your own thing is not honoring your parents. Obedience must come from the heart, and that will be reflected in your attitude and your demeanor. The words you say are important. How you obey is also important. And the attitude is equally as important. You need to learn how to accept discipline with the right attitude. You can honor your father by being righteous. Proverbs 23:24. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wise son will be glad. You can see how all of these are linked together. If you listen and then obey, and you do so with a good attitude, you will become a more righteous person. That is, as far as your sanctification is concerned. And that is the blessing to your parents. That will honor them. Be grateful for what they do for you. Don't take for granted the sacrifices that your parents have made for you over the years. You know, if you're a young person here today, you probably don't know the half of the sacrifices that your parents have made for you. Because so much of it just goes on behind the scenes and is unsaid. Another way you can honor them is to praise them publicly. Let them know how much you appreciate them, but also let others know. When they do something, tell them how grateful that you are. They enjoy hearing it. You know, even our Heavenly Father wants us to thank Him when He provides for us. So we should also thank our earthly parents. And then, of course, the last way is by taking care of them in their latter years. We've mentioned this already, but it bears repeating. Proverbs 19:26. He who assaults his father and drives his mother away is a shameful and disgraceful son. Proverbs 20:20. He who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in a time of darkness. Proverbs 23:25. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave you birth. And then you realize that Jesus gave the Pharisees one of their strongest rebukes for failing to take care of their elderly parents. In Matthew 15, verse 4, Jesus said, For God said, Honor your father and mother, and he who speaks evil of a father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, Whoever shall say to his father or mother, Anything of mine you might have been helped by has been given to God. He is not to honor his father or mother, and thus you invalidated the word of God for the sake of your tradition. What they had started to do was, instead of giving to their parents in their old age, they said, Well, we would be happy to give you these possessions, but we've dedicated them to God, and when we're finished with them, God's going to get them. And they violated the commandment. So why should we obey? Well, there's a lot of reasons, a lot of biblical reasons. First, because it's commanded. I mean, we could stop right there, but God commanded it. That should settle it. But God gives us other reasons. Second reason is because they stand in God's place for you on earth. If you understand God's covenant structure, and I hope you do being in this church, we are covenant theologians here. But if you understand this, then you know that God establishes offices and people who have authority to stand in His place to one degree or another. And children, your parents have great authority over you because God has placed them in authority over you. And unless they are telling you to do something that goes against Scripture, you must listen to them. Third, they deserve your honor and respect. I mentioned a few minutes ago that you have no idea of the things that they've sacrificed to bring you into this world and then provide for you. What they sacrifice to feed you and clothe you, to give you the education that you need. And the Scripture says they deserve your respect. Fourth, it pleases God when you honor them. Colossians 3:20 again. Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. And our text before us, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You cannot say that you want to please God and then dishonor your parents. That's what we've seen the Pharisees doing. It's hypocritical. And so the first way to please God is to honor your parents. But now there's a fifth reason. The Bible promises a tough life for those who dishonor their parents. Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick it out, and the young eagles will eat it. I guess you don't want to include that in your prayer of grace before eating, do you? But the Bible gets very graphic. As disgusting as that sounds, that's the position you put yourself in if you disobey and you dishonor your parents. Sixth reason, God promises rewards for those who do. Isn't this like our gracious God? I mean, we should do something just because it's right. And yet, what does he do? He says, well, you know, if you disobey it, you're going to be punished. If you obey me and do what I tell you to do, I'm going to reward you. He doesn't have to, but he does. Look again at the commandment. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. And then he expands upon it, and Paul expands upon it in our text. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Great reasons to honor your mother and father. And then we've already talked a little bit about extending the commandment. But now I want to look at it more specifically, because we can take this commandment and apply it to any authority figure over us. Thomas Watson, again in his commentary, shows how the word father that's used in the Hebrew, and while it's in particular used to mean our biological fathers, it can also be extended for any person who is put in authority over us. And he shows scripturally how magistrates are called fathers and therefore to be honored. He shows how older persons in general are called fathers, and so we should honor the elderly. That becomes more and more relevant to me. Those who have gone before us are called fathers. In fact, we even referred to George Washington. What's his nickname? The father of our country. And we honor him as such. And then he shows that we have spiritual fathers. They may be pastors or elders, or perhaps just a more mature man in the church who has taken on the role of being a spiritual father. And according to the scripture, all of these people are deserving of our honor, if for no other reason than by the virtue of the position they hold. God has appointed authorities over us, and we are to honor them all. And this commandment is rightly applied to include them. And of course, I'm not going to take the time to expand upon all of that. But I hope you see the application. And if not, I would encourage you to study this further on your own. But there's one last point I want to make. And I believe it's an important one. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 14. And I want to address this in light of what we've just been looking at, how we are called to honor and obey and exalt our mothers and fathers. Now listen to verse 26 of Luke 14. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. How can this be? after examining the Ten Commandments and recognizing their relevance today, we know that what is contained in them is binding upon us, and especially since we have it reiterated for us in Ephesians 6 and in Colossians 3, how can Jesus then tell us to hate our fathers and mothers? Well, there are some who really make light of this command and say, oh, it doesn't really mean that, you know, it just means to love less. And so the force of the words of Christ are reduced and just kind of glossed over. But that doesn't do justice to the text. The Greek word that Jesus uses here is missio. And it means to detest. And by extension, to even to persecute. That's the word he's chosen. There are many other words to describe if he merely meant to, you got to love them a little bit less. There's other words he could have used, but he chooses this word. So the words of Jesus are clear. So without disturbing or violating the fifth commandment, how can we hate our mothers and fathers? Well, notice the context. He says that if your mother and father stand in your way of loving him, then they become objects of hatred. Those are the words of Christ. So how can you hate your mother and father without violating the commandment to honor them? Very simple. You reject everything that they say that is inconsistent with following Christ. But you do so with humility and respect. You are willing to suffer whatever consequences that may bring into your life, since they still exert authority over you. You continue to fulfill all your obligations to your family, to your mothers and fathers, without violating the command to follow Christ and to love him with all your heart, soul, and mind. You give them the respect that is due them in every area. In fact, you need to become the model child to ungodly parents. If you come from a non-Christian family, this is an extremely tough job, but God has promised to give you the grace to do it. But there's a big key here. There can be no compromise on the principles of Scripture. Not for the sake of peace in the household, nor any other reason. To do so is to love them more than you love Christ. If you're in a household where there's authority figures over you and they don't love Christ, you need to respect them, to honor them and become that model child, but never compromise on the biblical message of truth. Because it is your passion for Christ, your passion for truth, with the humility that Christ manifested, that God just may use to drive them, to draw them to Christ. Amen. If you compromise to keep peace in the family, the bottom line is they'll look at it and say, how important is this? Just a phase. But if you follow the admonition of Christ, you will honor your parents even as you reject their ungodly ways. And you will not compromise the truth. That's a tough job. But it's what we have been called to do. You know, the philosophy of this world, especially in our society in America, you can't argue that it is this philosophy of radical personal autonomy. And that is diametrically opposed to the clear teaching of the Word of God. The fifth commandment is clear that submission to God-ordained authorities begins in the home. Honor your father and mother. Children, keeping this commandment brings blessing, and violating it brings trouble. And given the priority of the fifth commandment, that it is so often referred to in Scripture, it's in the law, it's in the wisdom literature, and it's in the New Testament. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. That means to obey them just as you would the Lord and your Lord and Savior. Young person, if you're a Christian, it will be seen in how you obey your parents. How you honor your mother and father. If you do not honor your mother and father, you're not honoring God. and you will have difficulty your whole life. Remember, this commandment is for everyone, not just the young children. It's for older children who still have obligations to care for their parents. And by extension, it's for all of us to submit to all God-ordained authority and to give them the honor due them according to the Scripture. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, if by definition you're not a follower of Christ, then you've already violated this command. You've rejected the authority and the lordship of Jesus Christ. And that never goes well. Repent. Ask forgiveness and submit to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you and we would simply ask that you'd give us the strength to honor our parents, to honor all God-ordained authority, that things might go well with us, that we might live long on the earth. I would pray, Father, for anyone here today who doesn't know you, that even today would be the day of salvation. Take away their stony heart, give them a heart of flesh. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.